quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Ketse, Kwikwetlem, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship of the lands and the waters. My name is Leslie, and September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. Today, I'll be talking about suicide prevention awareness. And if you have been a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays, you might remember that last year in September, I also talked about this topic quite in depth. I will be doing so again today, but not as in depth. The reason why is because I, one, very frankly, just... in alignment with the kind of like meta genre of like mental health things, my brain not working very well these days, very frankly. But the other reason why is because I don't want for this topic to go undiscussed. I feel like it always has a place here on the program. And when I'm able to do it on during the occasion that it arises, it keeps me on track. And it's better than not discussing the topic at all. If you listened to that episode of Typically Tuesdays, then you'll remember kind of like what my thesis of it was. And if you haven't heard it before, it's got a lot more information that I'll be discussing today. And it is also accessible on the CJSF archives at cjsf.ca. Please go give it a listen after this episode today. But my feelings on suicide prevention awareness have not changed. I believe that it needs to be intersectional. It is imperative for it to be intersectional and imperative for it to be political. Today, I'll be discussing the reasons why sort of the baseline mainstream way of how we talk about suicide prevention awareness is a good start, but it is not enough. Again, today's episode is not as formalized, not as scripted as last year's, and it's not going to be as full of resources and kind of like the science-y bit about suicidality and pain as last year's. For that stuff, please listen to last year's episode. Again, it's over at cjsf.ca in the archives. I'll simply be following my notes today and talking about some stuff that I've been stewing on the past couple of weeks. I should make note as well, I'm not a mental health professional and I am not a therapist. I am just a person with lived experience who has thoughts about this particular topic. Anything that appears like advice or solutions should be taken with discretion. So, as for music, we're going to be listening to some stuff that I've been tuning into the past couple of days, and that's pretty much it. Very straightforward episode, I think. Please listen with care, and if you can't make it through the whole episode, you know, I hope to talk to you soon, but I do hope that you consider leaning into discomfort. That's going to be a really important theme of today's topic. All right, here we go. Here is Yawn with Wading in Water.
Head in my hands, heart on the floor. I know how this feels, oh, I've been here before. I'm down on my luck, I'm kicking the curb. I'm clinging like honey to all of your words, but you got the love, give it back to me.
ko sa habang buhay. Makapiling ka, makasama ka, yan ang pananalangin ko. At hindi papayag ang pusong ito. Mawala ka sa aking piling, mahal ko. Dalwa. At sana naman makikinig ka kapag aking sasabihin minamahal kita. Wow! Panalangin ko sa habang
Panalangin by EPO Hiking Society here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I've been kind of listening to some OPM lately. That stands for Original Pilipino Music, and it refers to kind of like popular, easy listening music of the Philippines. I think it gained popularity in like the 1970s. And was sort of like a mainstay of pop music of the Philippines up until like the late 1990s or something like that. Yeah, it's fun stuff. I mean, like, if you enjoy like a fun little like easy listening pop song, get into OPM. It's a good time. My name is Leslie, and in a sharp segue, as a reminder, today I'm talking about suicide prevention awareness for Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And if you've been a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays, you likely know that I often feel that the campaigns to discuss this topic try, but they can afford to go deeper in how they want to address this issue. The stance that I hold around suicide prevention awareness is that it must be intersectional, it must be political, and it requires us to commit deeply to empathy and care. These are things that I think that a lot of the times discussions around mental health and suicidality don't do very well. I think a lot of campaigns try to come at it from the right place to make sure that people stay alive. And obviously, you know, that's very important. But I think that it is a very complex issue. And it's a very complicated reality for a lot of people who are suicidal. And really importantly, that the concept of suicide isn't even all that well and normalized to be discussed. It is considered so taboo. It can be something that scares a lot of people and put them into such a place of discomfort that even when they say that they want to support you through a tough time, they aren't able to actually come at it, I think, from a place that does not decenter themselves. You know, this, there's a really interesting post by Stronger You Wellness that they put on to their social media. And Stronger You Wellness are, they're an organization that tries to support whole, quote, whole human, non-carceral wellness coaching and peer support for people on the margins. So, unquote. So they're very focused on how to make life a little less awful for people who are already marginalized and oppressed, who are experiencing what some may call mental illness. There's a post that they wrote, and they write, quote, Suicide Prevention Month focuses on increasing access to tools, resources, and treatment, recognizing warning signs, providing help, healing, and hope. We believe that these are all important. They should be available all year long, and they're incomplete. Suicide Prevention Month treats suicidality as a crisis or immediate danger, but we know that this is not always the case. Experiences with suicidality are vast and layered. Suicide is not as simple as crisis or escaping the pain. Wanting to die can be a normal and logical response to untenable and unchanging trauma. Related to neurodivergence or general orientation to the world, a relational event signaling an unmet need. They go on, quote, marrying suicide to crisis leads to carceral interventions, tools, treatments, assumption that suicidality is short-term, dependence on external signs of distress, prioritization of individual support and effort, and emphasis on aliveness as safety, unquote. I think that post is really, really important because it helps illuminate the a lot of lived realities of people who experience suicidality, people who might be chronically, what we would call like chronically mentally ill, or people who a lot of the times, as you know, Stronger You Wellness tries to serve, people who are marginalized and oppressed, and they're not having their needs met. A lot of the times, these are needs that are absolutely imperative, crucial to not only our survival, but also the ability for us to lead happy, healthy lives, such as stable housing, stable long-term housing, such as food security. If you are a parent, maybe it's affordable childcare. If you are a person who is chronically ill, maybe it is being able to access validating, affirming healthcare. Even something that is often thought of to be very low barrier, which is community and social connections, a lot of people actually might not have access to that for whatever reason. If you are a person who is deprived of those things, you might not feel like you want to continue to live in this world. Does that not seem logical? It's not great necessarily, but does that not seem like a natural response to being deprived of joy, to being deprived of basic things to help you get through the day? To being deprived of accessible, affirming healthcare? In that way, I think it's really important for us to think about suicide prevention in an intersectional framework, because we also need to consider the experiences of people who are at the crossroads of multiple different systems of oppression, and how the systems of oppression deny them of having access to these very basic needs, such as stable long-term housing, such as affordable, accessible healthcare, such as community. And when you start from there, when you think about suicide prevention, I think from that angle, with that intersectional framework, it is also then not hard to begin to think about suicide prevention as being something that needs to be political. Because let's really consider, right, who are people in our society right now who are often being discriminated against? Who are people who are being, let's say, villainized in mainstream media all the time? Who are people who are not just being deprived of rights, but also losing their rights? I don't think that it is of a surprise at all that when we consider the suicide rates among certain people of marginalized communities, we find that their rates of suicide can be oftentimes higher and even more distressing than in the mainstream populations. But on the flip side, if we treat suicidality as constantly as like being a one-time crisis issue that your loved one will want to keep living again as long as they start the meds or as long as they start going to therapy, there is a potential that we are overlooking something that is constantly not being addressed, that could be the marginalization that they experience in our society. It could be experiences of oppression that have deprived them, let's say, of having a stable job, of being able to, let's say, access gender-affirming healthcare. It could be the fact that they have long withstanding unaddressed trauma that mental health professionals just have not been able to get to the root of. It also simply could be that is just how they move about life. And I think when we think about suicidality in that kind of flattening way, we really miss the opportunity to understand our loved ones more, and we miss the opportunity to advocate for them more. I'm going to talk a little bit more about suicide prevention after this music break. Here's the latest from from Ribbon Skirt. This is Lucky 8. Enjoy.
We'll be right back. This is Bird Note. It's a sunny September morning at Red Rock Canyon in the Mojave Desert. I spot hummingbirds, flycatchers, and a family of gamble's quail. But what I'm really after are birds of prey, and I don't see any. As it turns out, desert raptors are being hit extra hard by climate change.
So desert species have a special set of challenges. We're really getting extreme warming in the Southwest.
Blair Wolf is a biologist at the University of New Mexico. He says that hotter and drier deserts mean less water, leading to fewer plants and therefore less prey.
And that leads to a general more difficult problem for raptors to find food necessary for both energy and water. Raptors get most of their water from the food they eat.
Which can lead to lower rates of reproduction.
They've got to be able to make eggs and then find food for their nestlings.
Heat stress itself, even a few degrees of warming, can be a cause of death for raptors. In recent years, we've seen record-breaking temperatures sweeping across the Southwest.
When temperatures aren't even dropping below 95 or 100 degrees at night until 3 in the morning, you know you've got a problem.
And it's only getting hotter. I get back into my car without seeing a single raptor. But on the drive home, there it is, a turkey vulture, circling high above the greenest grass around, a water-guzzling golf course. This artificial ecosystem is an accidental oasis for a bird, but it doesn't solve the long-term problems they're facing in the desert. For Bird Note, I'm Sonia Swanson.
90.1 FM. My name is Leslie, and you just heard BB Bomb with Yisheng. I've been talking about a super light and easy to understand topic on the show today, suicide prevention. And we've come to the point where I think it's important to talk about why adequate